You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What is up, Goat Flippers? Welcome to the best hardcore and metal podcast on all the internet. This is Liam Goat's Van Flip Podcast, and I am your host, Lurk. Let's go ahead and dive into the top five stories on LiamGoat.com this week. Number five, The Devil Wears Prada Z2 sales and chart result. The Z2 EP debuted at number 110 on the Billboard 200 chart with first week sales of 950,000 in the US. Most of that was comprised of pure sales. Also, spoiler alert, look out for an upcoming episode featuring Mike, the vocalist of The Devil Wears Prada, coming in the next few weeks. Number four, Etic, featuring members from Drop Dead and ex-members from Barrier Dead, premiere two new songs. The unfriendly sounding band features original Barrier Dead frontman Joe Kruko on vocals and Drop Dead bassist George Radford on guitar. Number three, ex-Atreyu vocalist Alex Varkatsis forms new band Dead Icarus. Coincidentally, Alex dropped this news on the same day that Atreyu released new album Baptized. Number two, Slipknot announced Knotfest Roadshow. Slipknot has announced the return of their Knotfest Roadshow. The four-week tour will take place in the fall and also feature Killswitch Engage, Fever 333, and Code Orange. A full list of cities and dates can be seen on LiamGoat.com. And the number one story is Bad Wolves add Daniel D.L. Laskowitz as new vocalist. Laskowitz is best known as an original member of the Acacia Strain, serving as their guitarist and primary songwriter from 2001 until 2013. The group expressed their excitement to officially announce the Bad Wolves' new singer, and you can read the full press release on LiamGoat.com. And now a list of albums dropping this week, June 11th, 2021. AFI, Crypta, Interloper, Wrist Meat Razor, and Organ Donor. Well, guys, welcome to the show. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode featuring Brian Gills of Red Fang. He is the guitar player, and they just dropped a new album, Arrows, so make sure you check that out. And if you haven't checked the episode out, take a listen. I'm recording this intro directly after watching the Logan Paul Mayweather fight, and I can't tell you how disappointed and boring that whole thing was, so I'm trying to get jazzed up to do this intro. Luckily, it won't take much, because today our guest on the show is Dino Cazares, famed guitar player for the industrial metal band Fear Factory, but also plays in Asciano, Bruja, and Divine Hearsay. And on this short episode, we talk about Fear Factory's newest album, Aggression Continuum, coming out on June 18th through Nuclear Blast, the split between the band and Burton C. Bell, and get some backstory on Dino's other projects. Remember to follow LiamGoat on social media, give us a like on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at LiamGoat. Head over to LiamGoat's YouTube page and you can find all of these episodes in video format plus other LiamGoat content. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and the alert bell so you're always notified when new episodes or content is uploaded. And if you're listening to us on a device where you can follow us, subscribe to us, rate us, or review us, please go ahead and take the quick second to do so. It greatly helps us out with the podcast reach and algorithm stuff. And if you want to follow me, Lurk, the host of the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lurk City. That's LURKCITY. Don't forget that all related links to the episode are going to be in the show notes / description, so check those out. Now let's go ahead and roll into the show. I want to go ahead and apologize for it being a short episode this week. Unfortunately, Dino had a scheduled day and we only had an allotted time with him, so we enjoyed it. Thanks, Dino. Maybe next time we'll get to spend a little longer together.
Oh yeah, what's this? I feel this. Oh yeah, this is stuff. Oh no.
LiamGoat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
What is up? Welcome to the Van Flip Podcast. Today we have a very big name in metal, industrial metal, and for the scene in general. Someone who's been around for quite some time, since the 80s. Dino. He also goes by Asciano and
Asciano.
It's yeah. I really am bad at pronouncing anything, so it's my fault.
It's all good.
But you also are called the Riffmaster and the Beast Riffmaster, so I've found out.
The Riff Beast, the Riff Beast.
Yes.
But hey, thank you for that very large introduction. Yeah. It's Dino Cazares is the correct way to pronounce my word. Not my name, I'm sorry. But I've heard people say Dino. The guys in Pantera used to call me Dino. Come here, take a shot.
Is that because of the glam metal thing, though? Is that because they knew you didn't like them because of glam metal? They had a little phase earlier.
No, I never said I didn't like them because they were glam metal, but they were just friends of mine. They liked to call me that. That was their nickname for me. And it was a, you know, It was based out of love, nothing but hate. So
that's good. Well, you also, I mean, I remember when I first got into my own like vein of music, Fear Factory was already an established band. So you guys came in around, you know, the late 90s for me and early 2000s with, I remember Digimortal, but then I kind of remember, I didn't hear about you guys for a long time. And, you know, later on, I kind of clued in and got to the internet and you guys had already kind of like dispersed for the first time then. But, you know, you guys were always around when I was just getting into heavy music, so to speak. So that was really cool. And so it's cool for me to have you on the show, obviously, because full circle, right?
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem. You guys have a 10th studio album coming out. I mean, you guys have been doing this thing for a long period of time. So Aggression Continuum comes out on the June 18th, 2021. But we'll release this the week of, so this week. And I know you guys have, it's been a long, hard road kind of up until here. So how does it feel to come, you know, almost to the end of the tunnel?
Well, it's been great. Very liberating to finally be able to get this record out to people. You know, we've been through a lot of things, you know, to get here, not just in the past couple of years, but in the past 20 years, you know, we've gone through our fair share of legal battles, you know, divorces, bankruptcies, and, you know, he said, she said type of stuff. But we are finally here and we are finally getting this record out. And it's fucking amazing. And I can't wait for everyone to hear it.
Yeah, and like you said, it's been a couple years in the making. I know it's been like 5 years since you guys last released an album in general. So, you know, and I know a lot of it, you guys were kind of scheduled to release it a little earlier, but COVID kind of messed it up a little bit. But I know you guys had a long road prior to that, too. It wasn't just COVID. You guys, like you had elaborated on, it took a while in general.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily COVID. It was because we were in a trademark disputes under the band name Fear Factory. So because that was held up in court for the past 4 years was part of the reason why we couldn't get it out, you know. So at one point we weren't even sure if we were even going to call this record a Fear Factory record, because we thought maybe we were going to have to change the name, but good thing that we didn't. And fast forward to July 2020, all the legal disputes were over and we were able to regain the rights to the trademark Fear Factory. And we decided that June 18th was the best date for us to get this record out, 2021.
That's awesome. And for us not in the business, so to speak, what does it mean to be the sole owner of the trademark? So to speak? Like, what does that mean for you?
It means that I'm responsible for everything that happens with the majority of Fear Factory stuff, and I can continue to move forward to legally use the name Fear Factory. That's what it means.
Awesome. And you're in this current lineup, so to speak, because Burton has already announced, you know, last year that he was no longer going to be the vocalist, and we'll get around to that as well. But you're currently the only sole original member of the band, correct?
Yes, I am the sole original member of Fear Factory. That is correct. Yes, yeah. Burton decided to leave the band last year, which left me to getting this record out and, you know, get these videos done, doing all this publicity for it and working the album and being able to present it to the world to hear.
Yeah. And I mean, you definitely have been on the grind, so to speak, recently here. I've seen you pop up all over the place. Whether it be in YouTube playthroughs or other podcasts or other kind of social media stuff. So I know you've definitely been on the grind, so to speak. So kudos for that.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I got to stay busy. You know, I'm helping. I'm here promoting this record and getting it out to everybody. But, you know, it's been pretty rough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know you've been getting a lot of
backlash.
Yeah, some negative like that, stuff thrown your way. I was going to wonder, like, so what's it been like being so active on social media when in a time for the band it seems like, I don't want to say a low time, but, you know, it is a rough patch, so to speak, for the band.
Yeah, you know, I'm not unfamiliar with rough patches because we've been through a lot of rough patches in my career. Whether it be in Fear Factory or other projects that I've worked on, it's just the nature of relationships, you know, just how things work out sometimes. You know, sometimes it's beyond your control and you just have to sit there and deal with, you know, the media's questions, the fans' questions. You know, when our singer decided to part from the band, you know, he definitely left a lot of negative comments to where people were asking a lot of questions and fans were pissed off and fans wanted to know a lot of the truth of things that happened. And I was very vocal on social media trying to answer the fans' questions as PC as possible, you know, and trying to, you know, just to help them understand. I understand that some of them are upset and some of them are grieving because of some of the changes that are happening in this band. But I just wanted to be the buffer and I wanted to be that person to hopefully help them understand, you know, sometimes things change, right? And sometimes people don't want that change. Sometimes people fear that change. But I'm here to tell them that, look, there's no fear. You know, things happen for a reason. And I think that this is a good opportunity for the band to hopefully move into a new chapter. You know, and definitely I'm not going to forget the 30-year history of what he left behind, the singer. And we're going to respect that 30-year body of music that we all created and carry that forward. You know, that's the only way that I can be. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Now, I did, in researching a little bit about, you know, your kind of tumultuous history over the years, because I had to get reacclimated with like the earlier times and stuff like that, obviously.
Well, so, if you read stuff on Wikipedia and stuff like that, they don't
not
exactly
just there.
Have all
I,
the facts right.
I know. And, I know anyone can change that.
There's been like this thing where like everywhere they report the band started in 1989, but we did not. We just started October 1990. And it just, for some reason, just does not go away.
Yeah. Maybe it's because you were already in the music industry prior to that.
Well, I was in the music industry because I was doing another band called Brujeria, which was before Fear Factory.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure you're familiar with that band. But
no, the ones that you wear masks, it's all about like Mexican cartel songs and issues like that and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, so we were doing that way back, you know, when I first came onto the scene. So maybe, I don't know, but 1990 was when the band officially first became Fear Factory.
You kicked it off. And I mean, you guys, there's such a difference between, I guess, that band and your I don't even want to mispronounce
Brujeria.
Brujeria.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between Brujeria, Asesino, and Fear Factory.
Right.
And Divine Heresy.
Right.
Every project that I work on, I try to be pushing the envelope forward. You know, when we did Brujeria back in 88, 89, we were pushing the envelope because there was not any band that I can actually think of at that time that was singing, you know, brutal grind death metal in Spanish. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we were on an American label called Roadrunner Records. You know, I can't think of any band at that time. So to me, that seemed like it was a first. And then, you know, then jumping over and doing Fear Factory, you know, and pushing the envelope there and putting, you know, melodic vocals and heavy vocals together and syncopated guitars and drums, you know, on our first early releases, that was pushing the envelope there as well too. So I kind of feel good that I was able to be a part of those bands that were doing something different at that time.
Yeah. And the cool thing, I was going to say weird, but it's kind of cool as well, or it is cool. You guys, Fear Factory, transgressed so many different genres. I mean, your song you just released, Disruptor, I mean, that thing is like, you know, that's a banger. So it's so weird because I remember you being a part of the new metal wave for me personally, right? However, mm-hmm. you guys were a band 10 years prior to me even, you know, catching wind of you. So that's just, but you kind of like mainstayed for so long. Like you've crossed different, you know, genres
from
industrial metal to, you know, the casual metalhead can jam out to it. What do you think has like played the biggest role of that, like maintaining that mainstay even through like all the low and high times that you guys have had over the 30 plus years?
Well, there's a lot of factors that, but I think two of the main factors is just being listening to what's out there. Number one should be creating something original, and then not being afraid to blend other elements of music into your music, and always trying to stay fresh. Every time we approach the album, every time we approach to make an album, we try to take it somewhere different. Like if you look at the first four albums, Soul of a Machine, Demanufacture, Obsolete, and Digimortal, were all four completely different records. And it represents a time, a place, and an era, and even a genre. Because in 1992, the death metal scene was massive. Right?
Right.
Death metal grindcore scene was massive. So our answer was, okay, let's do this death grind, throw in some industrial, but put in these melodic vocals. And that even then, at that time, was very groundbreaking because nobody was putting those kind of melodic vocals into a very aggressive record, right? And so we got a lot of backlash and a lot of love at the same time. The same thing that people hated were also the same thing that a lot of other people loved. And so that got us a lot of attention. And then when we went to Demanufacture, we brought in huge electronic elements, and you know we kind of solidified our sound. We concentrated on the 10 best songs, and we focused on those. And we were like, okay, let's cut out all this other fat and just make these fucking ripping songs that just are super hooky, you know. Mm-hmm. Super melodic, super aggressive. And we pushed the envelope there and we created a new sound, and people just really attracted to it. And I think that was one of the benefits of, you know, being in a band that wasn't afraid to experiment with different styles and expand on their sound. Then when we get to Obsolete, which is the third record, and that's 1998. At that point, you know, new metal was starting to fucking pick up and get big.
Right.
You know, you had the early Korn records that were, you know, selling, you know, millions of records and so on and so on. And we were like, okay, you want that fat groove? We're going to bring you that fat groove, and we're going to fucking make it Fear Factor style. You know, there's like a song like Shock. It's got a pattern. The pattern in Shock was this fucking fat groove, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the kicks and the guitars were doing this syncopated riffing. Something that we started way back, you know what I mean?
Right, syncopated riffing,
but we made the fucking, gave it some fat groove to it. And that was kind of like our answer to what was currently going on in the music scene. You know, songs like Edge Crusher, you know. And then we had such a very amazing orchestral fucking, you know, metal song called Resurrection. And that took the band to another new level with that track. You know, we had the symphony orchestra, the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra in Vancouver, Canada, came out and played on that song, and we thought it fit well. And just, you know, we always try to push the envelope as much as we possibly can.
That's cool. And since we're touching back on like the earlier times where, you know, Digimortal and stuff like that, after kind of, I think Burton left the band the first time, and then the band kind of was put on hiatus or hold for a number of years or a year or two. And then is there anything like you personally would do different from that point on till now? Like outside of what you kind of already, you know, kind of laid the groundwork for, you would have done the same?
No, I would have pretty much done the same. But, you know, maybe during Digimortal, there might have been a few little things I would have changed here. But, you know, when you're in a band, you know, you got to be when you're a band, sometimes you have to let other people bring their elements into the group, right? And that's right. Just how it is. But when the band broke up there in 2002, when Burton quit in 2002, I was actually kind of glad that they kind of came back without me, because it really freed up my time to do other things. I was able to finally do a tour with my band Brujeria. Mm-hmm. I was able to finally get my first Asesino record out. I did the Roadrunner All-Stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did two Divine Heresy records, and then I did the second Asesino record. So that was five records that I put out from 2003 to 2009. What's that?
Okay, I was going to say a four-year span, but it was more like an eight-year span.
Yeah, it was like a seven-year span. And so I put all these records out while they only put out two.
Well, it takes you guys a little longer, right? It takes for your factory just a little longer to get everybody on the same page. It sounded like.
I guess. I don't know. But for me, I was able to – it was very liberating because I was able to, you know, expand on my playing. I was doing guitar solos, playing with different drummers, playing with many different musicians. And it was just it was a very liberating thing. And I was very – at first, the first few months, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm out of the band. What's going to happen? They formed the band without me, basically, right?
Without your knowledge and stuff, I was like, you're saying, right? Without you knowing?
Yeah, they formed the band without whatever. And so so it was very liberating. And I was like, oh, shit, what do I do, you know? And I was like – it took me about 2-3 months to figure it out. And I was like, okay, time to fucking get to work. Let's go. Yeah. So – you know, I did a bunch of stuff. The Roadrunner All-Stars was amazing to do that record. To tour South America, all through South America was amazing. Brazil, Argentina, Venezuela, Chile, you know, Uruguay, Peru, you know, Mexico. All that stuff was amazing. Yeah. To go out there with my bands, Brujeria and Asesino. That was places I haven't gone before. Colombia. Fuck, I had such a blast out there. I mean, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah,
fans out there are insane.
I do remember. So go ahead, finish your thought.
Very, you know, Latino people are very passionate about the music. And so it was really good to go out there and have whole different fans who were not necessarily fans of Fear Factor at all.
Right.
They were fans of my other projects. And that was great. And Brujeria is massive in those countries. And Asesino is right there behind it.
Asesino,
so it was really good to go experience that.
Asesino is a side project of Brujeria, right? Because isn't your character's name in the band Asesino, and you play a hitman of some sort, correct? Or that's the storyline. I'd say not that you play.
So in the storyline, yes, my character name was called Asesino, which means assassin. Basically, he carried out all the hits for the Brujeria cartel, basically, right? And so I decided to do a solo band from that space. Based off that concept and into the character of Asesino into a whole new thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, so I was able to do all that stuff when I was out of Fear Factory. And then when I came back into Fear Factory in 2010, I released the second Divine Heresy record and the first Return record called Mechanize, which was both in 2010. And both of my bands toured together, Divine Heresy and Fear Factory. And so... ever since then, I was like, okay, I need to figure out what I'm going to spend most of my time doing. Because one, they both need commitment. They both need time and commitment. So I ended up, you know, kind of breaking up Divine Heresy to continue to move on with Fear Factory.
That was that's a later question I was going to ask. But since you just brought up Divine Heresy, some people want to know if there's going to be a reunion of that coming forward. I mean... now that obviously you have a new album with Fear Factory out, that hurdle is here. We're not quite touring just yet as we were normally previously. So I don't know if Fear Factory has anything, you know, on the schedule or anything like that. But maybe you have a little bit more ample time to maybe focus on other projects.
Well, currently my schedule right now is talking to at least 10 different journalists a day.
Yeah, again, right? You're on the hustle. I've seen that.
I'm on the grind right now, and I'm promoting this new album. So that's the number one thing. Second thing is, you know, as when the record finally comes out, June, to move forward with a new singer. It's going to be a big thing there. So I got a lot of Fear Factory stuff in the works. It's going to be very difficult for me to do another Divine Heresy record. I've been trying to get another Asesino record finished. And we've been about halfway there, but to go any further has been very difficult. My time is very limited at the moment. You know, it's all full steam Fear Factory right now.
Yeah, I mean, juggling more than three projects at one time can be hell, and you do more than that. So, yeah, I can only imagine.
Well, I try not to do. I try not to have them overlap each other, because in some cases I've learned that one will suffer, you know. Right. So it's like I try to, you know, just focus on that one thing that I'm doing. So it, that way, you know, certain things won't suffer, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. when you're trying to rush and get things done, sometimes it doesn't always work out well.
Yeah. And so with the Fear Factor, do you guys have shows like planned for this year at all? Are you guys going out on the road here in America or Europe? Nowhere?
No plans this year to tour. Not till next year.
Interesting. And
why is that interesting?
Just, I don't know. Just because people are starting to play shows, you know, we're currently having shows going on. And so it's always good to gauge, you know,
and you let those people do shows. I mean, it doesn't mean everybody has to be on the same schedule. So,
I didn't know if that had anything to play into you guys releasing the record, you know, as well as, you know, with everything lifting or getting almost, you know, back to somewhat not normal.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's going on out there in the world is pretty much uncertain. There are a lot of countries that are still going through, you know, you got India and Brazil who are going through pretty insane COVID right now. And there's still a lot of COVID restrictions. There's still a lot of traveling limitations, mm-hmm. you know, to go into certain countries, and certain states are not open all the way yet. So it's going to be quite a while before, you know, before anybody can do some serious touring. Sure, there's shows here and there, and there might be some festivals booked here and there. We don't know if those festivals are going to happen or not. Everybody is trying to move forward like it is and hoping that everything's going to be open by July, August. And let's hope. But that doesn't mean there can't be another COVID outbreak and things can get shut down. So we're just playing it safe and taking our time, no rush, and get the record out and then tour next year.
Sure. And you guys, like you said, you were looking for a new singer. Is there any kind of updates on that? Or do you have like a dream lineup of people that you would like to maybe try out? Or
I think I have a really good track record of finding new talent and jamming with new people and finding new singers here and there. The main thing is just to put this record out, get it out, focus on this thing, announce a new singer coming up, and you know, hopefully do, this is just off the top of my head, just thinking out loud, maybe just doing a live stream where we announce the person and maybe do a few tracks so you can see how this person sings with, you know, certain old and new tracks. So
is this person already from an established band, or are they kind of like a new person in general? You don't have to tell me the band.
I can't answer those questions. Okay. You know, because if I give too much, there's just not going to be anything, you know, special when we make the announcements.
I understand. You said new talent, so I just didn't know if this person was already an established vocalist or if they were just kind of like, you know, a lucky person. So we'll leave it up in the air until you guys do your live stream. Speaking of live streams, do you guys do you plan on utilizing social media more? You know what I mean? With I saw you doing the guitar playthroughs with Nuclear Blast and stuff like that. Do you plan on doing more just for you directly, as far as like for your personal fan base, because you're in so many different projects and such?
Well, I do have a. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I do have a Patreon page where people can go to, and it's patreon.com/DinoCazares, where they can go and check out my other playthroughs. They can go check out my gear. I do have some downloadable content that are on there where they can, if they have any of these, you know, software programs where you can download my tones and put them onto software programs, whether it be Kemper or Neural DSP, they can go there and they can download that stuff for free. They can put it on their stuff. Everything to do with guitar and jamming and, you know, different instruments and different pedals and amplifiers, they can all see that.
Yeah, that's cool. And we'll put a link of that in the description and all the show notes or whatever, so they can get access to that as well.
So my next interview has been calling me as we've been talking.
Oh, okay. Well, we can wrap this up then, man. We greatly appreciate
it. I'm not sure how much time we have. Do you know for sure?
we're at 26 minutes here, but I mean, we can, if you're, you know what I mean? If you got to go,
you want to hold on? Will I check really quick? Cause, yeah, my next one is starting now. Actually,
no, you're okay. You're fine. All right, Dino. Well, we greatly appreciate it. So take care of business and, best of luck with Aggression Continuum coming out later this week, and check them out on Patreon.
Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Fearfactory.com for everything.
Take it easy, man.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.